Hello and good morning. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here this morning for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. We continue in our catechesis through the Acts of the Apostles. Also, we're hearing from the prophet Joel. All right, and we'll be doing that for many weeks to come. So it's a helpful practice that we call this Lectio Continuo. That's the old Latin name for it. Continuous lections. We just, and some churches do this even for their Sunday preaching. It's not been our practice. We followed one or more lectionaries, so lections that are appointed for the day to follow the calendar, not the calendar year, but the church year. But doing continuous readings are helpful to see the narrative flow of a thing. If I were to do it again, I've already established the schedule, so I'm not going to do that. But what might be interesting is to read the Gospel of Luke alongside the Acts of the Apostles, because guess what you find out happens is that there are direct parallels between the book of Acts and the Gospel according to St. Luke. All right? That's not a one-for-one, but it's very similar. All right. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right. Oh no, that camera getting brighter and darker kind of annoys me. Oh well. Let's see. Psalm for the week. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you, my soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. In your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right. Let's see. That actually, I mean, apart from being exaggeratedly bright, maybe that works. We'll try that. And then our verse, for the week, we say together, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. Our catechism, we say together, this is first to employers. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them. Since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Ephesians 6, verse 9. To youth, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 through 6. Okay. First reading. Oh, look, I neglected to change it. I knew there was something I forgot to do. I was running a little bit late this morning. I had to have a little meeting before our prayer. All right, let me copy and paste in our reading. There we go. Let's see if it works. Nope. There we go. All right. So continuation from Joel chapter 1. Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before our eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed shrivels under the clods, storehouses are in shambles, barns are broken down, the grain has withered. How the animals groan, the herds of cattle are restless, because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of the sheep suffer punishment. O Lord, to you I cry out, for fire has devoured the open pastures, and a flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field also cry out to you, for the water brooks are dried up, and the fire has devoured the open pastures. I think one of the lamentable things, it actually tells us to lament here, is that we neglect the prophetic word of the Old Testament, the scriptures. And that's to our detriment. That's to our, well, also to our shame, but also to our loss. And that we fail to see that the life of repentance for the forgiveness of sins is the life of God's people. That repentance comes in the midst of God's judgment against sin, a judgment that's often known, right? So you think about, you know, what happens within our society or within our congregations or within our families. And sometimes they're very difficult and challenging. Sometimes they bring great hurt and harm. And the correct response, according to the prophetic word, is to cry out to the Lord and to lament and to weep, but to the Lord, that the Lord would answer, right? I mean, hear it even specifically, to go to church, right? To consecrate a fast, to call a sacred assembly, to gather the elders and the inhabitants of the land, and to cry or into the house of the Lord your God, and to cry out to the Lord. We actually have this in our worship materials, the a day of, what is it called? A day of suffering? No, great, day of tribulation, a day of supplication. You have your Lutheran service book, and you look at the minor feasts and festivals and day and occasions at the front of the hymnal. You'll find under occasions, yes, a day of supplication and prayer, or a day of national or local tragedy. National or local tragedy has Job 30 and Revelation 7 as the appointed text, but the day of supplication and prayer has Joel chapter 2 as the Old Testament text. All right, so no wonder. And is appropriate then when things are difficult to get thee to church, to pray, right? To call the elders, gather the congregation, and to pray. We don't really have that kind of culture where I suppose we did. 9/11 would have been a time where you would have looked to the pastor to call you to worship and to pray. I know my congregation did at that time. I was not serving as a pastor. I hadn't even gone to seminary yet, but. My pastor said, we're meeting tonight. We're going to pray together. All right. And then our reading for catechesis, I got to copy and paste that too, because I neglected that. It's going to be from Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4. All right, so let's go put that in place here. Voila. I like to make it a little bit bigger for my sake and yours. All right, there we go. Now, remember yesterday the lame man was healed and went about the beautiful gate, leaping and walking and praising God. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ should suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Oh yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel to those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. All right. Beautiful. So where did the people come running to Peter and John? This is, remember we had the beautiful gate yesterday. Now we have another temple architectural feature today, the place called Solomon's Colonnade or Solomon's Porch. Solomon's Colonnade or Porch. I think in the image that I had on the screen yesterday, you saw the colonnades, right? This is an important place. We'll see this later on in Acts 5. You actually had it with Jesus back in John chapter 10. This is a place of preaching. So you would hear the word in the courts, but then you would go out and the teacher then would instruct you upon the porch. And this is where people would gather to hear the apostles' teaching. Jesus had preached there in John 10 about hearing the voice of the good shepherd, John 10, and following him to eternal life. Jesus had told them to look at his works, and now they would examine the works that the apostles did in the name of Jesus. So there's a parallel with John 10 and Acts 3 then. All right, so go check that out if you like. What name does Peter give to God in verse 13? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? These are those who believed the word of promise, right? This has to do with the promise. And notice the pronouns. I know this is offensive to our modern ears, but it's essential to note that he preaches in the second person plural, you or you all, right? You see that? You denied the Holy One. That's y'all denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to y'all and killed the Prince of Life, right? This is something that, like I said, it's been quite offensive for my hearers. as I've preached second person plural, and that it is your sin that crucified Jesus. Jesus died for your sins. This is wonderful. I'm good news, but it also means your sins were put on him, that you are the ones responsible for his death, right? So, but no one wants to hear that. Of course. All right, because it offends the old Adam who thinks of himself more highly than he ought. So the law message is you delivered him up, Jesus up, denied that he was the Holy One, you did. You asked for a murderer to be released to you, and you killed the Prince of Life. My song is Love Unknown does this so lovely. It makes this so lovely, right? A murderer you gave, right? The Prince of Life you slay. And I think he had the author, John Crossman, right? Is his name, I think, Crossman, gave, I think he's reflecting on Peter's sermon here. All right. But then Peter switches to the gospel, as you do. You did all of this, and God raised Jesus from the dead. So you notice subject and verb. The verbs are now being done by God, that's how you know it's, we're going to be switching here to gospel, to gift, right? How was one saved then, according to Peter? Through faith in his name, that is namely Jesus' name, the name of Jesus. And so then he rightly confesses that despite all the things that you did, whose hand was actually behind all of these things? You did it in ignorance, as did your rulers, but these were done according to what God foretold. So you see that verses 13 through 15 are actually fulfilled, or fulfillment of what God had spoken before by way of the prophets. So because of all this, what does Peter declare? Or what does he call, to what does he call the people? Verse 19, repent. To repentance, right? Now notice what repents them, what changes their hearts and minds. It's the preaching of God's word, right? They don't change their own hearts and mind. Jesus changes it by his spirit working through the word. So repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And then listen to this. This is so good. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Having your sins forgiven yields into a time of refreshment, right? This is the fellowship hour after church. No. Although that could be, right? Is that you leave refreshed, that your sins are forgiven, that you're encouraged, that Jesus has done and kept his promises for you yet again, all right? So ultimately, times of refreshing refers to the gospel being proclaimed for the forgiveness of sins. Verse 21 is interesting, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration. So this is a good translation. If you have the old NIV, it translated it unhelpfully. It said, he must remain in heaven until, right? But heaven must receive is different, right? Christ is not locked up or held up in heaven, but is present with his church, both physically and spiritually, of course, through the sacrament and his words, according to his words. So heaven has received him, but does not hold him, right? He comes down from heaven for us, right? This is not a practice that I've practiced here, but I have in previous parishes where you have the elevation of the body and blood of Jesus while facing the altar. The Roman Church does the same thing. It's one of the reasons why I've turned and faced the congregation and proclaimed the word while holding the sacrament before you. But the other practice is helpful in that the sacrament is being held up, but it's not that we're ascending into heaven, so to speak. Although that's, in a way, that's true, but rather that Christ descends to us in his body and blood for us and for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. In the Roman Church, they actually believe that the body and blood must be offered up to God. Instead, what we confess, even with the same physical action, is that God descends down to us in his Son, namely in his Son's body and blood. So this is the problem with liturgical practices, is that they can mean two different things, even if they look exactly the same, all right? Sometimes it's helpful just not to do this thing if it looks the same. Maybe there's another practice that can more helpfully confess the truth that you're trying to convey. All right. What had been spoken by the holy prophet since before the world began, that Jesus would, or the Savior would come and defeat our enemies and reign forever. You hear probably echoes of the Benedictus, right? In Luke 1, that we should be saved from our enemies, right? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant. I should just stop there. It just keeps going. You might also think of the promise made to David by way of Nathan, right? Back in 2 Samuel 7. Here we go. This is what Nathan, the prophet, speaks to David. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Okay, that's beautiful, isn't it? So God had promised by way of Moses, you see in verse 22, a prophet like him, right? But this one will be the one who brings ultimately is the word of God, right? There's a warning, though, that those who won't listen to this prophet, like they didn't listen to Moses, if you don't listen to this prophet, you will be utterly destroyed. Not just destroyed, but utterly destroyed. And then again, we have another prophet, verse 24. Samuel is mentioned. What's the significant things that happened in Samuel's day? You remember back when we studied 1 Samuel, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And then God raised up Samuel, there was this incredible thing that he said. I think it's in 1 Samuel 3. That none of his words fell to the ground, right? And it is, though, when Samuel was growing old that they demanded a king, right? And like we talked about, they weren't exactly wrong. Jesus ends up being their king, all right? What had God promised to those who were sons of the prophets? We have that in verse 25. In the seed of Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. So Genesis 12, Genesis 28. This is all connected to Jesus. God raised up him up to bless first the Jews and then to turn them from their iniquities. In verse 26, God raised up his servant Jesus. Here he's called the servant. This is, of course, quoting Isaiah. You hear all the servant songs of Isaiah, especially 52:53. All right. Good. Did I not keep reading? All right, now we got to keep reading, and then we'll answer some more questions. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to read the next few verses. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. And being greatly disturbed, they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. 5,000. Holy cow. All right. So, or holy Lord. Who came to Peter and John while they were speaking? We have the captain of the temple, the priests, and the Sadducees. And they were disturbed. Why? Because of what they were teaching. So if someone's going to be upset with the Christian church, let it be on what we preach, namely Christ and the resurrection of the dead. Jesus, in Jesus, is the resurrection of the dead. So they seized them and held them until evening, put them in jail until evening. The reaction, though, of those who heard the sermon is that they believed. And now the church numbers 5,000 men at this point. So they've now added another, or the Lord has added now another 2,000 to their host. All right. Isn't that incredible? And how does he do it? Through healing, through preaching, and even through oppression, even through rejection. Okay. Poof. What a reading. All right. So Peter points to Jesus as the prophet who fulfills all the words of the prophets before him. He is the one in whom Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob trusted for their salvation. Peter indicts his hearers with the full weight of the law, but speaks of the times of refreshing that come through the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. The mistake of Israel was their failure to believe the words of the great prophet Jesus alone. Through the preaching of the gospel, Christ remains among his sheep, even though he has physically been received into heaven until the day of judgment. Although our Lord ascended into heaven, he is physically present in the preaching of the gospel and in the sacraments of the church. For his body is now present everywhere, his word is proclaimed. Beautiful. All right, let's sing the stanzas of our hymn that we have appointed for this week. It's stanza 1 and 6. We do have a commemoration this day. Today we remember and give thanks to God for Emperor Constantine, a Christian ruler, and Helena, the mother of Constantine. Constantine was the emperor of the Roman Empire from AD 306 to 337. He was born about AD 272 in present-day Serbia. His mother, Helena, was not of noble birth and may have been only the concubine of his father. Constantine entered the Roman army and became a part of the bodyguard of for the emperor. Under Diocletian, the empire was divided into fourths, and Constantine's father was given charge of one part. At his father's death, Constantine assumed this office, and from it, he gradually and with much conflict fought his way clear to becoming the sole ruler of the empire. In the process of acquiring the empire, Constantine had to fight many a battle. Eusebius relates that on one occasion, when his troops were clearly outnumbered, a vision was granted him, and Constantine heard the words, "In this sign, conquer." The sign referred to was the Greek letters Kairo, combined the first two letters of the name of Christ. Constantine supposedly marked his soldier's shield with this sign and proceeded to victory. So you've seen that looks like a P with an X on top of it. That's a Cairo. Cairo. In AD 314, he issued the famous Edict of Milan. For the first time, being a Christian was no longer a crime against the state. Christians' lives were safe and their properties could not be seized. Church buildings, for the first time, could be public edifices. Helena had enthusiastically embraced the faith before her son. However, once Constantine lent his support to Christianity, mother and son financially supported the construction of church buildings throughout the empire. Helena particularly was concerned with building churches connected with the events recorded in the Gospels in Palestine. She is responsible for the construction of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Constantine also saw the building of what became known as Old St. Peter's, the church that stood upon or over the graves of Peter and Paul in the Vatican from the 4th century until its replacement by the present basilica. Constantine is remembered also as the man who convoked the Council of Nicaea in 325 that rejected Arianism, the teaching that Christ was not true God. Constantine was baptized on his deathbed in AD 337, not uncommon at the time. His mother had died only a few years earlier in 330. Together, they are celebrated as worldly rulers who sought to strengthen and support the mission of Christ's church on earth. We pray, Almighty and everlasting God, by your Spirit you brought Emperor Constantine to believe and confess the victory of the cross and moved his mother to help in the building of many churches where your people could gather to receive your gifts and praise your name. Receive our thanks for them and for all benefactors who give generously of their wealth to further the work of your church in spreading the saving gospel. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray our collect for the week. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray this day for deliverance against temptation and evil, for the addicted and despairing, for the tortured and oppressed, and for those struggling with sin. I also pray for all the households of our church, especially that of Martin and Tara, Paul, James and Deborah, Robert and Shannon. We pray in thanksgiving for the commencement of our day school year. We pray for all our catechumens. Pray for those who are ill, receiving treatment, or recovering. And I'll add Len into the prayers here. Ralph, Allison, Maria, Joe, Angie, Dennis. Len, who had knee surgery yesterday, is recovering, looks to be at home. All right. Dan, Brad and Billy Joe, Harriet, Ron, Carol, Mike, Doug, Ruth, Renata, Joan, Sandy, BJ, Karen, President Willie, and Phil. We pray for our homebound, Dan, Lenore, Joan, Paul, Dolores, and Pauline. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially for the mercy work of Lutherans for Life. Also the formation of local teams to partner in church planting across our district. And we continue to pray for the family and friends of Gary who grieve his death. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, that's our congregation at prayer for today. What is it? Tuesday, May 21st, 2024. You're welcome for the live stream. Thanks for checking in on the chat, all of you. Quite a few watching today. I appreciate that. Always, if you have questions as we're going through the readings, please feel free to drop those in the chat. I can see all of that on my screen here, and I'm happy to interact with you personally. But otherwise, you know, it is interesting as pastor. A lot of times I'm given to speak, and I'm not necessarily given to hear responses. But this is why I enjoy Bible study so much, is that there I can throw out statements and see if you if you respond. Some people in their preaching have that too. Not in our tradition usually. People don't speak up during the sermon. Say, amen, pastor. Tell us more, pastor. Right? Anyway, it is helpful. So I appreciate you here with me, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. So God be with you all. Keep you safe, and we'll see you again in the morning. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.